FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's January 3rd, 2017. Happy New Year. Well, time marches on. Governments come and governments go, and we're in the process of seeing the Obama administration go now, just 17 more days, 16 if you don't count the 20th of this month. And Frank V. Vernuccio Jr. is with us now, editor-in-chief of the New York Analysis of Policy and Government. And welcome back, Frank.
Kerry, it's great to be with you. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Hey, and likewise. Thank you. So, now we're making the transition. The Obama years will soon be but a memory. And what's on your mind now?
Well, one of the things, of course, we have to look at is this unusual transition period. I don't think we've seen an instance in American presidential politics in the past where you've had an outgoing administration doing just about everything it can to handcuff the incoming administration. Usually in the last month or so, policy initiatives are not forthcoming from the outgoing White House. However, we've seen with the Obama administration, certainly in regards to its policy towards Israel, actions which would hamper, I think, to some extent, the incoming administration. That's been something quite different this time around.
Yeah. Well, what effect do you think it's really going to have on Trump? Is he really going to be bound
by anything? In terms of his policies going forward, I don't think it's going to handcuff him in that sense. However, it does set a precedent where an American president made the following statements that can always be thrown back in the face of a next administration as a way of weakening their position. Certainly, that's the case with Israel. On the other hand, if you look at some of the effects of the attempted blaming of Russia for interfering in the American election, which today Julian Assange said was absolutely not the case. He got the information independently, not from the Russians. That certainly is something that looked like it could have been a problem for U.S. and Russian relations going forward. However, it does appear that there's enough of a nexus between Putin and Trump in terms of trying to settle down some differences that won't have a major effect.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't. Putin did not strike back. He didn't respond to the expulsion of 35 Russian diplomats. And hey, it's like, forget it. It's done. And we're moving ahead. Your history, Obama. In fact, it kind of had the reverse effect on Obama, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did seem to have that totally, which is an expression of the contempt that the Russians seem to have had for Barack Obama. I think that contempt was rather well settled after two international incidents. One, of course, is when the president refused to lodge even a diplomatic protest following the Chinese takeover of the Philippine Exclusive Economic Zone, and also his relinquishing of his own red line in Syria. So I think there has been a real disdain in Moscow for President Obama, which was getting to the point of being, frankly, quite dangerous. That's how sometimes wars start by accident, when one leader simply doesn't believe the other leader will do anything at all. And then it gets to the point where something has to be done and conflicts begin. We saw that back in the 1960s after President John F. Kennedy didn't move forward with the Bay of Pigs invasion. The Russians took him to be far too meek. They set up missiles in Cuba. And of course, President Kennedy had to respond forcefully to that, brought the world to the brink of nuclear war.
Yeah, so weakness only comes back to bite you, in the rear eventually, right?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, so what do you think is going to happen next here? Trump's coming in.
Well, I think the first thing that we'll see is obviously tossing out a lot of the executive orders that President Obama put in. Executive orders are tempting ways to do things because you can do it without a lot of hassle with Congress. Of course, the backside of that is that there's no way those are protected. The next president can simply dismiss them with the wave of a pen. I think we can be assured that President Trump will do just that. Along with that, I think we're going to see a lot of regulations that were imposed by Obama bureaucrats get beaten down as well. The Competitive Enterprise Institute has listed numerous regulations which were imposed over the past 8 years, which have certainly served to damper down the American economy. Going forward, I think a lot of those regulations are going to be released. Look, we've had a terrible period where we've seen more businesses fail than start up. We've seen businesses reluctant to hire or to make long-range plans. I think we can start to see a reversal of that in the next couple of years.
Yeah. And supposedly Trump's got like one master executive order ready to go to pretty much revoke all of those Obama executive orders that he didn't agree with, which is most of them. And then they're going agency by agency, and they're going to not just the regulations passed by Obama, but the regulations passed by numerous other administrations that have hamstrung American business. They're just going to pretty much go wholesale revocation of those regulations.
That's correct. And also, I think we're going to see something else. A lot of Obama's international moves were done by so-called international agreements, which actually were in substance treaties, which had to be approved by the Senate. But by calling them agreements instead of treaties, President Obama pretty much just ignored Congress and went ahead with them. Two among them, I think, chiefly will be affected. One, the Iran nuclear deal. That looks like it's going to be in for some sharp attacks, as well as the Paris Climate Accords. I think we can see those two so-called agreements be challenged by the new president, not just on the substance, but even on the legality. They were indeed treaties which required congressional approval, which they never received.
Yeah, so they're like a nullity to start with. They have no legal force in effect. They're what you would call gentlemen's agreements, I guess, executive agreements. They really have no legal force in effect because they don't need congressional action to be removed.
That's exactly right. And I think we're going to see a lot of action on that score in the early months of the Trump administration, if not in the early weeks of the Trump administration.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it's going to be a really interesting time because the so-called successes of the Obama administration are its greatest weaknesses. And Trump is, and Obama sees this. And I think he's, you know, I guess these presidents think about their legacies. And the legacy, in my opinion, should have nothing to do with what the next president does or doesn't do. Should be with the, you'd be judged by history on the quality of the work that you've done. And so be it. It's got nothing to do with what your successor does. And yet, this legacy building thing, as if you can build a legacy separate from what you've actually accomplished in the office. It's absurdity. It's gobbledygook. It's sophistry at its worst.
Well, that's well said. Certainly in the case of the Obama legacy, you have to wonder, I don't think history will be particularly kind to this administration. The only two areas we think have any chance of survival from the Obama administration will be in the area of health care coverage until age 26 for dependent minors and possibly coverage of pre-existing conditions. Certainly, Obamacare is going to collapse. Indeed, it would have collapsed no matter who got elected. Mm-hmm. The financial setup of it is absolutely disastrous. I think you can safely assume that Obamacare was probably meant to fail, even by its advocates. It was merely an interim step towards the establishment of a single payer system similar to what we see in the European countries. It was never financially viable. It didn't do a good job. The costs were absolutely astronomical. So we're going to see that end pretty dramatically, I think, in the early parts of the Trump administration.
You know, this concept, Frank, just to go back to it, of legacy building, it's like, for me, I'm going to leave my kids $1 billion in my will. The only problem is that I'm in major debt and I have no assets to leave them. But my will looks really good because I'm leaving them all $1 billion. But the reality is I've left them nothing but debts. And that's what the Obama legacy is all about. And hey, I will go over the four major accomplishments that I believe of the Obama administration, most positive accomplishments. Number one you're now allowed to listen to your electronics on an airplane from takeoff to landing. Okay. Number two, TSA pre and global entry. So you don't have to get groped if you submit to that program. And number three, we can now travel to Cuba, lifting of the ban. It's my opinion. And number four, we can legally import Cuban cigars now. Outside of that, I don't see any positives to this administration. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're absolutely correct. This was a wasted 8 years, but an expensive 8 years. Again, if we look at the near doubling of the national debt, look, there are times when you spend money and it's a good investment. If you buy a new home when your family is growing, if you invest in an education for your children, those are things that have a rate of return. But we've doubled the national debt. And I think any American from any political party would be very hard-pressed to say what the nation gained from all that spending. Just taking one somewhat esoteric area, the $700 billion, some people say $800 billion stimulus package, which stimulated just about nothing at all.
Yeah.
Where are the jobs that were created from that? Nothing really seemed to have happened much.
Right, it was shovel-ready. Frank. It was shovel-ready, don't you remember?
Yes, and of course, the president couldn't even keep a straight face when he talked about the absence of shovel-ready jobs. If we look at some relatively minor things that the United States desperately needed to do, which were indeed shovel-ready jobs, which the Obama administration totally ignored, let's look at shielding our electrical and computer infrastructure from electromagnetic pulse, either from solar conditions or from a nuclear attack. Estimates are that would have cost only between, and I say only, using Washington's version of only, between $3 billion and $10 billion. That was a relatively easy and cheap fix in an $800 billion stimulus package. And yet that absolutely crucial need was relatively untouched as the president continued to struggle to find shovel-ready jobs. Kerry, I think history might look at that stimulus package as being, without doubt, the greatest mass theft in human history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was just money that was just so wasted on things like banning incandescent light bulbs and, you know, just the green energy companies going bankrupt and just pure waste. We couldn't even build roads properly. I mean, you know, that's the thing. The Democrats can't even go about implementing incompetency in a competent way. You know, they just have no
capability.
An
interesting, you can do an interesting comparison. Let's go to the example of Tammany Hall in New York State. Tammany, you know, wasted billions of dollars or millions of dollars, I guess, at the time. But you can actually still see some things that Tammany built. Mm-hmm. They built a couple of great buildings downtown. They did some great things with Central Park. So there's some legacy from Tammany, as crooked and as desperately wasteful as it was. With the $800 billion stimulus package that the Obama administration brought about and the near doubling of the national debt, you can't point to anything. There's not a surplus of jobs. The military is still underinvested in it. A lot of its equipment has become obsolete, certainly in comparison to the material that Russia and China have been churning out in recent years. There's nothing there. And that national debt and that complete lack of progress in any key area in the past 8 years, whether we're talking about the economy or national security, that's the legacy of the Obama administration, and a not very good one at that.
Yeah, it's shameful. It's really shameful, squandered and wastefulness. And yeah, we did see a bunch of union government employees keep their jobs for a period of time. We saw the pension plans get further into hock. We just saw the can get kicked down the road and more government waste flounder and thrive during the Obama administration. So how's he going to go down in history here, assuming that history gets accurately told, Frank?
I think it's going to be disastrous, and I think a lot depends on how things progress in the next couple of years. Certainly, we are in danger. Keep the year 2020 in mind. In 2020, a couple of key things are going to happen. By 2020, the Russian modernization of its military will have been completed. Russia right now has the world's most significant nuclear force. That's the first time in history they've had that particular title. The Chinese will have a navy by 2020 that's significantly larger than the United States Navy and more modern as well. Those 3 years, the intervening years between now and 2020, are times of frankly, desperate rebuilding for the American military. It's also a time for desperate rebuilding of the American economy. Whether you're looking at the provisions of Obamacare that discouraged employers from hiring full-time employees, the net effect of continuing to have the world's highest corporate tax rate of any developed nation, these are years when America is going to sink or swim. A lot of action has to be done, and it has to be done very, very quickly.
Well, Trump looks like he's going to do it. I mean, the corporate tax rate, he seems hell-bent on cutting. Repatriation of the stranded profits overseas, definitely on the table. The net effect of it all, we'll have to see. Definitely the exploitation of American energy assets at home and on the North American continent are definitely in his on his radar screen. So there are a lot of positive trends. Question is, have we gone too far down the rabbit hole to come out now? And nobody can answer that question at this point. We're just going to have to see. Frank, want to find out more about you? Where's the best place to go?
Well, thanks for asking, Kerry. USAGovPolicy.com. And you can access our radio show, our television show, and Monday through Saturday, each day, a new research column is posted at that site.
Excellent. And as always, we will have a link to it in the show notes to this interview on FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Any questions, comments, or feedback? Just send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Check out our Facebook page. That is financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We're starting some awards now, Frank. The DUH Awards, that's D-U-H, in honor of my adopted home state, Florida. That's spelled F-L-O-R-I-D-U-H. The DUH Awards, there was somebody that tried to hold up a gun store recently. Didn't meet with a very positive outcome, to say the least. I mean, Florida is just an amazing place, Frank. I mean, you have things that that you just can't believe here. A guy picks up an alligator, 4-foot alligator on the side of the road, and he pretty much takes it and throws it in the drive-thru window at a Wendy's after he's charged his dinner. You know, so he leaves the police right to his home. You know, crazy things like that, that you can't make this stuff up. So the DUH Awards, we're accepting nominations. Just send your nomination to kl@kerrylutz.com. Frank, it's great talking to you. Happy New Year. Be well.
Happy New Year, Kerry. I look forward to our next conversation.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.